And welcome back. Wasn't that food delicious? Okay. So I think at this point, we're going to invite Brother Sanjay and Brother Balu back up to the stage to share some more experiences with us and make us laugh again like they did earlier today. And with that, I'll pass on.
Sai Ram. Actually, after that heavy dinner, really we need to laugh to loosen up ourselves, maybe. Actually, we should thank, I don't know, where is Murali Kaje? I want him to be here. He's not there anyway. So it was Murali's idea. He called up and said, Balu, you'll be talking about Sai humor. Oh my God, really. I was thinking where to start, where to end, actually. So not that, like, this was a beautiful thought. I'll tell you, Swami makes this to happen, I know, like, when Murali said that, I really went back these 20 years, started thinking what are the incidents, when, you know, really we. Sometimes in the portico in Parthi, we used to deliriously laugh the way Swami used to crack some of these jokes. Or, you know, they're not called jokes, actually, there are a lot of learning in that. And also Swami's interactions with some of the elder persons and make them laugh because Sai, I call him Anandadai, as we all know. He is the one who gives the joy. So humor, like, you know, there are 64 aspects of God. Like, you know, God is perfect in 64 aspects. In that, one is humor. As one beautiful, you know, very person said, Navvadam oka bhogam, navinchadam oka yogam. Navalekapovadam oka rogam. Actually, what it means is laughing heartfully is a bhoga by itself. And if you can make people laugh, that is a yoga. If you cannot laugh, that is a time you should go for a health checkup. Actually, something is wrong with you. That's what it means. So with that, what we want to, myself and Brother Sanjay, what we want to do, we'll recollect... There is Murali, actually, who is the one who started this Sai Humor project, I feel. So, what most of us would have gone to Parthi and, you know, all of you would have seen Swami's, you know, coming for darshan. It's a serious kind of atmosphere. But there is a lot more for Swami's, you know, what we see him, you know, when he's on the stage and when he's really moving close to the students. So with that, we move on. Actually, here, Swami is coming to we had this science exhibition, 1992. We invited Swami, and Swami came to chemistry exhibit, and Swami is asking us to do an experiment where we make, we love you, Swami, forever you are, something like that. When you pour two liquids, you know, chemistry is all about mixing and, you know, glowing thing and all. Swami, we switch off the light and that, for, Swami, we are forever yours. Then it, that glows. Swami was like a child, you know. He's telling there, I think Professor Sampath, who is to the, he's not in the picture, he's telling these boys are making a miracle. Can you imagine? Like Swami is telling about, we are making a magic and miracle. Where are we in front of Swami? So Swami is asking, repeat it again, repeat it. So he wants to see again and again. He's like a child, as I told you in the morning. So same Swami in the mandir, in the portico, one day he was walking and talking to the students. There was one boy. Swami gave a ring and somehow this boy broke it, actually, you know. So he wants a new ring or some kind of a replacement or, you know, this boy was trying to give that ring back to Swami. Swami, you gave ring and I broke it or something. Swami took those two pieces. And he just did like that, you know, pieces together. And the gold comes together, actually. Like, you know, I'm a chemistry student. We read in a book called J.D. Lee that gold melts at 300 degrees for a degree centigrade. And, you know, you need pressure, all that. Here, Swami at room temperature, you know, the temperature of maybe little high in Parthi. But that's not enough to melt a gold. Just by... with his just blowing like that. And it's a pleasure to watch Swami. There is no pressure he used to mix the gold. It's a, like that. He used to, right there he used to do it. Then there is another very funny experience. Swami called one of the boy and asked him to be good and gave a ring and told him not to show anyone. It's very difficult. As soon as a person comes out of interview room, everybody looks at their his hand or neck or something like that. Something he would have got from God, you know. So poor this guy got, everybody saw his ring. And also we touched it also because Swami gave. So evening, Swami says, Andarki chupinchava. He is asking this boy, did you show everyone? Then this boy has to say, he was keeping quiet actually. He has shown. Then Swami said, give. And he tossed it. The ring went off. I'm telling you like that. I was sharing this with SSC kids. Usually anything goes up will fall down. There is a gravity and Newton was found it long ago. It was there before Newton too. He found it. So it should fall down. He didn't fall that ring. That's what I used to tell my PhD friends. I've seen such kind of things. Sai came first in my life. Then only science came actually. So, Swami just tossed it and it went off. This fellow became straight because a lot of Sahara Do Bhagwan, you know, Arajas Uno Mere, all those songs actually. Swami went, coolly went for bhajan. And entire bhajan, this fellow is crying. Like, you know, you can give a ring. So, if you don't give a ring, it is fine actually. If you give a ring and take it back, it is worst actually. So, that happened to that boy. And after the end of the bhajan, Swami comes and to this boy and says, నేను చెప్పినట్లు ఉంటావా స్వామి ఈజ్ ఆస్కింగ్ హిమ్ విల్ యూ బీ వాట్ ఐ సే దట్ మీన్స్ సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ స్ట్రైటనింగ్ స్వామి ఈజ్ మేకింగ్ హిమ్ దెన్ దిస్ బాయ్ సెడ్ ఎస్ స్వామి నో దెన్ ఇమీడియట్లీ స్వామి ప్లక్స్ ద రింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ థిన్ ఎయిర్ అండ్ గివ్స్ టు హిమ్ వీ చెక్డ్ ఇట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ద సేమ్ రింగ్ సో స్వామి డస్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ లైక్ యు నో ఇట్స్ ఏ ఫన్ బట్ అట్ ద సేమ్ టైమ్ కరెక్టింగ్ దిస్ బాయ్ దెన్ ఇన్ బృందావన్ లైక్ వన్ డే వీ ఆర్ ఆల్ సిట్టింగ్ There is one devotee. He used to come from a place called Nellur in Andhra. And one good thing about this devotee is whenever this devotee comes, we know that we have a movie to see with Swami. He brings one Telugu movie or some movie. So we are more happy that this man has come. There will be some movie show. So this man came and Swami was talking to him. Myself and my friend Raghunath, we were sitting, friend. Swami suddenly talking to him, he bent down. There's a, I don't know how many of you seen Brindavan Trayi. There is a small shrub. Like, you know, it's a plant. It doesn't even flower, you know, some kind of. It's just a, not even, it is put for, so what the wedges, you know. It's not a really flowering plant. Swami plucked this big plum kind of fruit, plum. And that he threw like this, as Brother Sanjay was telling in the morning, straight to that man and he took it and we saw the fruit going on us actually. Then as soon as Swami went and everything was over, we were searching entire plant actually. Is there any more fruits left? I'm telling you, there is no, it cannot even flower. How can, you know, it's against botany actually. It goes, all botany is gone actually with that. So Swami used to do this. And in one interview, Swami was, usually Swami asks, any question lunaya, any questions? And one of my friend was asking, Swami, dayalu unnaya? I don't know how many of you understand. Swami, is there spirits? Like, we were all worried because I know in Pathamandiram days, Swami drew away a lot of spirits, actually. And I also checked the interview room door was closed. If Swami material is one such, where to go? Actually, see, we don't have confidence on God, actually. If that comes, where to go is the thing. Then, but Swami beautifully corrected this boy, said, the problems for the living ones comes from the living ones only, not from the dead ones. Beautifully said, actually. And then this boy wants to do paranormal research, it looks. He asked, same boy, later after some time, he asked Swami, is there a life after death? He wants to really know, actually. Then Swami said, there is a life before death, enjoy it, Swami said. Beautiful, actually. So there's a lot of meaning. See, fun is a message too. Then, I think you want to share something else? Oh, yeah. There is stories. And these stories are enormous. Actually, I collected whatever I could recollect from my student days. Swami used to tell this vadalu or garelu story actually. Then it is like this, it seems. There was a bank employee got newly wed. So this man used to bug his wife to make a good food actually. Nu adi baa cheyu, like, you know, you don't make chutney well, you don't make that well, you mean, like, every day is bothering for that wife. So what happened was, one day the neighbor lady gave this garelu or vadalu, you know, medu vade, you know, those who know Tamil. So this fellow tastes it and says, wonderful, who gave you this? Said that neighbor, that lady says that neighbor gave and all. I'm telling you, you stay with her and learn this, making this, you know, vadalu. Then this poor girl, you know, she got all the materials from Walmart, I don't know what, those days. So she got it, went to her place. The next day, they started making vadalu. So this fellow went to bank. Swami, you know, I cannot even tell the way he says. We'll be rolling on the floor, actually. This fellow was working in the bank, thinking about vadalu only. I'll go in the evening and I'll have nice crispy ones, you know. Vadalu is, you know, those who don't understand, it's a fried spicy donuts. We can put it like that, isn't it? So this, he comes home. He comes home, the lady gives the vadalu, that garelu. He really shocked and he fell down because of shock. The reason is that lady came in a red sari with the head shaved and gave vadalu to him, his own wife. Then he asked, what's happening to you? What happening to you? What did you do? See, that's the way widow should be. Why are you like this? Then this lady answers to him, you only said follow whatever that lady does. So I went in the morning. First thing she did was she shaved her head, changed into a red sari, and made vadalu. So I did exactly same. Swami said, without understanding, if you follow, that's what will happen actually. That's a beautiful message there. Okay. So this is Swami told. See, Swami's, I'll tell tomorrow about this. Swami's Ramayana, how he tells Ramayana. For Swami, Ramayana is following Rama rather than fighting for the where he was born or something like that. But there was one nice devotee, like, you know, he was a very old devotee of Swami called Biruduraj Ramaraju. I don't know those know him. He's a great devotee of Swami. He used to always sit in portico and to speak with Swami equally. See, some of these elders had Sakya Bhakti, like, you know, they'll speak Swami, Ledu Swami, like, they are on, like a friend, they had friendly relation. One day this man is a poet by nature and he was, Swami asked him, Ramaraju, what are you doing? This man replies, Swami, Padyalaku Ganalu Chustunanu. Ganalu means whether it is proper words are there or proper letters are there. Swami immediately pat, it said actually, Ganalu Kadu Ni Gunalu Chusko. Like, you know, it's not the letters there, you need to watch your virtues actually. So it's a pun of a language. And then this man is also involved in Vishwa Hindu Parishat, this kind of thing. He was, I think, president of that or something. One day Swami came out, it was a high Rama Janma Bhoomi controversy time. And this man was asking, like, Swami, he was keeping quiet. Swami is very good at raking up. He came out and after the interview room and he said, Ramaraju, when are you going to construct the temple? We're all, you know, what's happening to Swami? Like, you know, he's raking up this issue. Then immediately this man, you can see his namam, how straight he is, very strong actually. He got up and said, Swami, meer cheppandi, ippude potam. Like, you know, we are ready to go now. Means you decide, you tell that to construct the temple, we'll say. Then immediately Swami said, kattandi, kattandi, ikkada kattandi. Like, you know, Swami said, construct the temples for God here, not fight for the place. Then another occasion, he was telling, he was pleading Swami. Swami, tell where Rama was born. Because basically they want, most of these politicians came that time to commit Swami, one side. Chappandi, where Rama was born? Swami said, Kausalya Kadupulo. Like, you know, He is born in Kausalya's womb, actually. So this man had a grandson called Vijay. Swami came to him and said, "Yekkada mi tata?" Like, where is your grandfather? This fellow coolly answered, "Swami, Rama Janmabhoomi poyinadu." Like, he has gone to Rama Janmabhoomi. Swami said, "Rama Janmabhoomi kaadu, Krishna Janmabhoomi poyinadu." Like, prison. He was imprisoned, actually, for, that. I think Sanjay will add up on the same thing.
So it was a very similar situation, same Ram Janmabhoomi. And as Brother Balu said, a lot of those activists were trying to corner Swami into, committing one way or another. And of course, Swami is the embodiment of unity. He always says everyone should be united. And so, we'd have multiple of these incidents where people would try to force Swami's hand one way or another, but Swami would end up, end up conquering them with love. So, on a similar situation, around the same time, this very large contingent from the Ram Janmabhoomi activism group came to Puttaparthi. Very, very different from what usually happens. They came shouting slogans. They're very loud, extremely disruptive. And they came and sat in darshan. And Swami said, okay, let them do whatever they want to do. And they were shouting. Even during the usual darshan time, they play that darshan music. Everything is very peaceful. But they kept shouting, and it was extremely disruptive. And it was a very tension-filled atmosphere. And all of us as students were wondering, how is Swami going to handle this? This is quite volatile. And so we waited, and Swami said, let them. And so slowly Swami came out for darshan, and he went round slowly, went to the ladies' side and then to the gents' side. And the moment, and throughout that time, they were shouting, Ram Janmabhoomi, Ram Janmabhoomi. And as soon as Swami came in front of them, they all hushed and said, Swami, Ram Janmabhoomi. And Swami said, and it was the same comment that Swami said. If you keep on shouting Ram Janmabhoomi, all of you will end up in Krishna Janmasthan. So it was a situation where we all thought, how is Swami going to react to this? And first, all of them didn't understand, make the connection. And it was a charged atmosphere. We thought, it could be a riot or whatever it is. And Swami said, no, everyone should be united. And through his love, Swami conquered them. And they immediately looked, they laughed. They realized how, somewhat ineffectual and not really productive it would be to be shouting like that in a very sattvic atmosphere. And they immediately deflated. There was no riot or anything like that. So it was wonderful to see. On another incident, it wasn't about Ram Janmabhoomi, but two politicians actually came to Puttaparthi. And they were... in the Indian press, they were actually going after each other, in the press, and there was an open fight between them. They're national figures, and they were both, attacking each other. It was quite a serious situation between them. And both of them were coming to seek Swami's mediation in their efforts. Suffice it to say, They both came at the same time. They both were in the darshan at the same time. And before they came to the darshan, Swami actually, he was looking at all the students. And he said, see, all of you students, you think you have problems. Look at my problem. I have to figure out how I can make a snake be on good terms with a frog. And he said, both are natural enemies. Both are at each other's throats. How am I, you think you have problems? This is Swami's problem. And Swami said, not only do they fight like a snake and frog, they also both look like a snake and a frog. So what Swami meant to say by that is, when you just go out and just fight for no reason, you will end up taking these animalistic tendencies. And so all the students had a hearty laugh.
Yeah, actually, every day these fun sessions used to take place. Because it used to happen like that. See, once, I think, Chief Justice of India, I don't know his name, but he came, he was a little hefty, and he walked inside. Swami called for interview. Swami asked, Yentamandi, for interview, you know how many? He said 20. Swami said plenty. like, you know, that's good. Like, you know, this is enough. You get in. Like, so like that, Swami, like, when these politicians actually, Sanjay triggers all those incidents again. Once there was a Home Minister of India came. He came to see Swami. Like, you know, it's not that Swami will make fun of them or something like that. He, Swami is very good in taking care of guests. But this, when the Home Minister came, there were black cat commandos. You know, they were like what you call here, equivalent. Some very, they will be black and black. In Parthi, we're all white, and they'll be black and black. You know? So the car came, and, you know, near, actually, if he's a big dignitary, Swami allows car to come up to the Purnachandra those days. And this man with family, or he'll walk towards Mandir. So Swami here waiting, and seeing that man coming, and he turned towards the students. Students, why do you need security? This was Swami's question. We all kept quiet. Swami only answered, you need security because you have fear. That's the way Swami said it. Then, why do you have fear? Swami said. Again, we keep quiet. Swami says, you have fear because you have done something wrong. Like that. Then, don't do anything wrong. You won't have fear. When you don't have fear, you don't need security. By that time, the minister came very close to the, you know, Mandir slope. Kaisa hai, and he took him for interview, actually. See, the interview is for the minister, lesson is for us, actually. Swami is very good at playing this, and there is a lot of meaning in, you know, he's giving us a message there. So there is one funny incident like that is when we sit in portico, opposite to us are the small primary school kids, actually. They used to come and sit, you know, very, very orderly, like, you know, they sit very quiet also, because at that age it's difficult to be quiet. They sit just opposite to us. Swami will be going in the middle. So he picked up one kid, actually, small kid. He said, Swami asked, how many brothers? He said, all are my brothers, he said, actually. Then Swami looked at us and see, meek ledu vaadi. See, small kid is telling all our brothers. That broad mind you people don't have. Oh, we felt Swami, school lo baga. They will tell all this, how to talk to Swami. It's our own weekend. We can't tell to Swami though. Then Swami asked, how many sisters? All are my sisters, Swami. This fellow is not even leaving. Every question he had the perfect answer. Then we were, you know, like college students, we were all score zero. Okay? Then Swami, you know, compassionate Lord, he immediately asked that boy, how many wives? All are my wives, he said. Then we had our turn. See, this is the way the portico used to be. Swami laugh. Swami also, he used to laugh like anything. Then this is another incident. The person who is standing next to Swami with specs, he is Chiranjeev Rao Garu. He is a very elderly gentleman, still serving Swami. He was I think he must be 80s, late 80s also, but he is a very great Swami service man. Like, you know, he came long ago and served Swami's lotus feet. So one Swami, see, he's shorter than Swami. Okay. Swami used to call him and ask him to stand next to him. He'll simply call in the Chiranjeev Rao, says Swami, he'll come and Swami says, stand next to me. This man stands like this, making namaskaram to us also, actually. Swami says, who is higher, actually? Swami is 5 feet, you know. Chiranjeev Rao is little short. Then Swami, nene high too, like that. Okay, then one day, Swami called this Chiranjeev Rao Garu and said, there are some mangoes came and these were kept in Purnachandra. Then Swami asked Chiranjeev Rao Garu, any mango lunai? How many mangoes? Swami is asking, total how many mangoes? This poor, you know, man has to calculate so many boxes, 10 per box. You have to do the math quite quickly, you know, and tell Swami. Then Swami made his life easy by asking, pillalandariki avutaya, means, is that enough for all the kids? Then he has to really break his head, because he has to say yes or no, isn't it? Because, then he said, anni levemo swami, he said. You know, I don't think that much is there, swami, something like that, he said. Anni levemo swami, he said. Then swami called all the students. Students went and got mangoes. So they distributed. Okay. Students got mangoes. Staff got mangoes. Devotees got mangoes, actually. Now, swami calls Chiranjeevi Rao garu. Anni levannave, swami said. Actually means, you said that many are not there. See, you should understand here, if Chiranjeevi Rao garu says not there, swami can make it that many, actually. So it's a puzzle for him, and this man was, he doesn't know how to answer swami. Like that swami is to play with these elders. And this is an incident, I read it. See, Kasturi garu had a habit of putting heavy vibhuti on head, actually. He used to smear vibhuti like a big vibhuti, like he used to put on the head. And he was sitting in somewhere in the corner, and Swami was talking to devotees and students. Then suddenly Swami said, Kasturi, come here. Then Kasturi garu doesn't want to come until Swami calls. Like this, all the elder devotees had that, you know, they followed Swami verbatim. If Swami says yes, they'll say come. They're very, very, in that way we need to learn from these elder devotees. So Swami says, if you sit in that darkness, people think that you have a bandage, actually. Like, you know, see that white vibhuti looks like bandage, actually. Then, anyway, that will take away your bondage, Swami says. Like, you know, it will remove your bondage. That is life. So like that, it's a very playing with word. One such occasion was, you can see Swami in the ground. He's taking video. We are doing social service. We used to call this social service. Basically, before Swami's birthday or, you know, some function in the, you know, ground, we used to clean up the ground. Swami asked to clean up the ground. Because ground is infested with, there is a palleru kailu. I don't know, these things I cannot translate. Actually, there is a village. They are thorny. Thorny, round thorns. Actually, they were too many. So we need to pull them out. Actually, that is a service for us. And when we are doing, the great thing is Swami comes to see when we are doing service. So as soon as Swami car comes, we all, when we were pulling and we saw the Swami's car, we throw all these instruments which we were used to pull that tarni bushes, went to Swami's car and we stood around his car. Swami gets down. That day was the gentleman who is there in that picture called Dr. Marri Chennareddy garu. I don't know. He was a politician as well as a long-term devotee of Swami and served as the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh and also Governor of Tamil Nadu. So he was always, he came that day with Swami. Swami is talking to Chennareddy garu. Swami is telling pillalaku, like, you know, these children, like all the boys, they love me, they love Swami so much. When they see Swami, they come running, leaving their work. Like whatever they are doing, they leave and run and come to see Swami. Oksari Swami velli pongane, if Swami, as soon as Swami leaves, they get back to work. Then there was a pause. Then Swami said, government office lo, Swami said, in government office, when you go, they act working. As soon as you leave, they stop working. So Swami is telling here, duty with love, duty without love. That's what happens. Swami says, they come to me leaving the work. Once I leave, in my absence, they work. But whereas, when you go, they work. When you are away, they'll never work. Same thing like that. Okay, this is actually, like, this is a drama in Swami's 60th birthday time on convocation drama. It's about unity in diversity. See, like, here Swami, when decides about drama, he chooses the actors also. So in that drama, I was a comedy villain. Of course, Swami recognized my talent, it looks, and comedy villain. We used to get villain roles, actually, because Swami wants to be bad in drama only, so that we learn bad in the drama and leave there only. So in the drama, my role was very little. That's what I used to tell all the ACC teachers and all there. We never aspired for any big role or something. Whatever role in front of Swami, that's enough. Actually, it's not like I need to be hero every time. It'll be bad also. So, that in that drama, my role is I am a ego booster for Sundarayyar. Sundarayyar is a very good actor. He only spoke here. It looks you should ask him to act also. He's a wonderful actor. So, Sundarayyar is an egoistic pandit. So he's a Harikatha master, and I am a harmonium player for Sundarayyar Harikatha, and I tell about my teacher how great he is. Okay, to when all the other pandits come, then my role is this. Actually, I say that my teacher knows everything. There is nothing he doesn't know. Like that, I need to tell. So I used to say, "Kes Isava Shakena Katopa Prasno Mundaka Manduke Mundaka Mundaka." Like that, I used to say all this. Then end, I used to say, "He knows." Rigveda, Yajurveda, Ayurveda. Swami used to laugh like this because Ayurveda doesn't come under Vedas. It is a giving some herb and you know, it's some kind of a, not Vedas. So Swami used to ask me to repeat the dialogue and laugh again. So I feel actually when I think about it, Swami gives ananda to everybody and making Swami to laugh is really his blessing, I feel. I think about it and really cherish that moment. Then finally, like morning, what this was in the interview, what Swami gave this picture. But my friend actually, like as beautifully Sanjay was telling, he gave two points, and there was another person who was in the same interview. You see, like that's the way Swami's message, each one picks up, and then when we put together, we get the, you know, something like a puzzle solving kind of. You know, this boy gave it to me, that picture to me. He said that Swami said this is Advaita in practice. Imagine, Advaita is a very hard thing to understand. Please, like you know, it was Shankara, Shankaracharya who propagated it, and you know, nobody can understand. Advaita is oneness. So, Swami, what he says in this picture is this is Advaita in practice. Treat all as Swami and yourself too as Swami. The difficulty is when other Swami is behaving badly. So at that time, you remain good Swami. So this is the way Swami tells about Advaita. So always we blame others. If they are good, we'll be good. If they are good, if you are good, what is great actually? When they are bad, you need to be good. That's what Swami wants to ask. So I leave it to Sanjay now.
So, and that is interesting the way Swami chose the words when the other Swami is behaving badly. So, with that one statement, we see that Swami says, recognize divinity in everybody. Even in the person you may think is bad or you think that someone is behaving badly, understand that Swami is inherent in everybody. And if you fight fire with fire and go against them the same way they come at you, it's not going to solve anything. And in fact, when the other Swami is behaving badly, when the other self, who is nothing but Swami, is behaving badly, at that time you remain good. In the morning, I forgot a number of points, of course, as Sri Balu said. You know, this particular interview lasted about 2.5-3 hours. And it's one of these things where when you come out of the interview, very hard to retain every single point that's in there. So it's interesting to build up how everyone's reaction is from that particular interview and compile it together. In the morning, I forgot to show the photo. This is the actual photo. And the second thing is I forgot to mention that I said that Swami materialized 29 photos. And so Swami actually, he materialized them all in one stack. And he fanned them out. And after that, he started distributing, you know, one to each boy. And so 28 of the pictures were actually distributed, and one was left in Swami's hand. And so Swami looked at everyone, looked at the picture and said, "Ah, boys, I know, you doubt. There's one left over, and there are 28 of you, and Swami should have materialized 28, but no, I materialized 29, because you forgot about the sick boy who's in the hostel, who couldn't make it today for this interview, and he's sitting there crying, and so this particular picture is for him." And he gave it to the one of the institute officials who was there and said, "You give it to that boy." And that was, in fact, very true. when we looked around and we noticed that boy was actually missing. None of us actually noticed that one of our own classmates was missing. But Swami noticed, just with one quick glance, he noticed one person wasn't there. And his message immediately went to Swami. And Swami reciprocated by giving him a photo. So this program actually, as Brother Balu said, it was Murali's brainchild, if we can call it that. And, you know, I'm actually kind of tagging in at the last minute. Balu actually did a lot of work to put this together. I actually have one or two other things I wanted to mention. This particular incident is with my father. My father's name is G.V. Subbarao, Ghandigota V. Subbarao. And as I mentioned, he came to the U.S. Quite a long time ago in the late 40s, early 50s. And, he started coming to Puttaparthi probably in the early 60s. And ever since he's been coming to Puttaparthi, once he learned about Swami, you know, he was having a craving to actually go and see, go to Shirdi and see Shirdi Baba's place. So every time he would go, but somehow circumstances made it that, you know, we come from America, it's a very short trip we take, and he could never go to Shirdi, but he preferred just coming straight to Patti and all of that. So one time, finally, he said, listen, this trip I'm going to Shirdi. So we all got down in Bombay, and we were going to make that trip, and he, unfortunately, all of us fell sick. You know, we all had stomach upsets. And so, again, that trip could not happen. And he said, okay, fine, is this not meant to be? And we came to Puttaparthi. When he was sitting in the portico in Puttaparthi, during darshan time, he kind of just closed his eyes. And he was thinking about this incident. And he was thinking about Shirdi Sai and how he couldn't go there. And Swami, now my father's eyes were closed. So Swami came out, but my father didn't notice. He was still wrapped in his meditation and he was closed his eyes and he was thinking. And Swami slowly walked up to him. Of course, all the other boys were laughing because they realized Swami was slowly walking to my father and my father wasn't noticing. And he quietly stood right in front of my father, just literally centimeters away, looking down at him. And suddenly my father, came out of his meditation. And Swami had a hearty laugh because my father kind of flinched a little bit. And he said, oh, Swami, you're here. And he fell at his feet. And Swami looked at him and said, I am he. And that was a real staggering moment for my father. He called my father in for an interview. And he created a Shirdi Sai ring for my father. It's a silver ring with Shirdi Sai Baba's picture on it. So my father felt his long-cherished desire was fulfilled. Several years after that, he came back to America, and then we went back to India. And Swami walked up to my father in the portico, and he said, do you still want the old man, or are you now ready for the younger man? So my father was thinking, and of course we all know the answer, but my father said, having lived with the old man until now, I would welcome a change into the company of the younger man. So Swami laughed and called him in, and he took that ring and he blew on it, and the picture, the ring itself was the same, but that picture changed from Shirdi Sai to Satya Sai Baba. It's a wonderful thing, and my father felt it was a way that signified his spiritual journey from Shirdi to Patti. But it was interesting the way Swami chose to do it. Another incident that I'll remember as a student is, in Vrindavan, in Vrindavan campus, when Swami goes there, of course, Swami is very playful. And one of the students have a particular, a lucky chance in Vrindavan. That is, they get to have like a very close session with Swami every day when Swami is there. Because he doesn't go there as often as he is in Patti. So they have a little bit extra when he actually does go there. And Swami, the other thing that happens there is the students, in their overwhelming love for Swami, they can get quite rushed when they get into the building, Thrai Vrindavan building. And I remember when I used to go, of course, by that time, I was not a Vrindavan student, I was a Parthi student, and I was a little bit senior, so I didn't participate in that. But Swami would actually walk, and he would go and stand on the lawns, which was away from that the main path into Thrai Vrindavan. And Swami would look at the students, and all the students would be just sitting there on your marks, get set, go position. And the lucky few students who made it first got a chance, you know, the first three or four had a chance to massage Swami's feet, you know, for the 2 or 3 hours that Swami was talking. So it was a really great chance to have that. And all of us as students have had that at some time or another. And so Swami would take immense delight in every day he would do it in a different way. Some days he would walk and stand on the lawns and just give a clear signal like this. And the boys would rush and they'd make a huge noise. And it looked like, I don't know if you've seen in the comics, you see a dust cloud with hands and feet coming out of it. It was literally like that. And people, you know, students would get bowled over, they would get up again, run in and sit. And every day Swami would kind of, sometimes he would do like this, sometimes he'd do like this, sometimes he would just blink with his eyes and do like this. And all the boys would run in. One time there's an older gentleman who was there, and he was standing next to the door, and I think he wanted to go in first along with the boys. So I think the Swami gave the signal, and the boys actually, they stampeded into the Thrai Vrindavan. Luckily, the man wasn't stampeded on, but he was a little bit unhappy. So he said, "Swami, all the boys, you know, see how rude they are. They just came and almost knocked me down." And he got a very different answer. Swami said, "Who asked you to be there standing like that? You see me, I'm standing here on the lawn. Who asked you to stand there right next and be in their way?" So it was a different response that he got. On one of those occasions, I actually happened to come from America with my brother Ravi Shankar. So both of us studied in Swami's college there. And we went inside, and we were sitting somewhere in the middle. And I unfortunately did not bring, I wear glasses. I didn't bring neither my glasses, and because I had an eye irritation, my contact lenses weren't on. And of course, you know, I didn't think, you know, we came, I didn't think Swami would, you know, say anything or call. But like I said in the morning, whenever you think something isn't going to happen, it happens. And so Swami said, "Ravi Shankar, Sanjay, when did you come?" And we actually were standing on our knees. And every time, you know, Swami would ask a question, there was no room to actually make our way to Swami. It was a very crowded, and, you know, we didn't want to disturb the boys who were sitting in front and have that chance. So we were responding from where we were. We slightly were on our knees. But unfortunately, I could not see anything. I could not see Swami's gestures. And very important to see that, because so you can respond directly to Swami. And my brother was right next to me. And Swami was asking each of us a question. And it was a very mundane topic. Swami was saying, "So how is America? What is the price of, what is the price of tomatoes?" And we would give an answer. And Swami would translate that immediately into rupees at the then current exchange rate. Swami was very quick with the calculation. And he would tell the other boys, "See, you know, look at the price of tomatoes. It's astronomical, you know, very unacceptable." So like that, at first he was saying, "Ravi, Sanjay, Ravi, Sanjay," and we kept alternating. But after a while, you know, Swami knew that I couldn't, you know, so Swami was pulling my leg a bit. So he would just differentiate by looking between my brother and myself. Now, of course, my brother, he doesn't have glasses or contacts, so he could see who Swami was asking. I couldn't see. So every time Swami would ask me a question, my brother would jab me in my ribs. And sometimes I would respond, sometimes I wouldn't. And Swami, of course, was very kind. He didn't really... But Swami was laughing every time that happened. And of course, he noticed it, but he acted like he didn't notice it. And so it was a very interesting way. My brother would jab me, and I would immediately answer. And then he would answer. But the whole purpose of this is Swami asked the price of all vegetables, how much a car costs, how much is rent. And he turned to all the other boys and said, you see, when you go to America and you live, everything is very expensive. Far better to stay in India and you can enjoy these lower prices. So it is a way that he was saying there that you should, you know, everyone should stay in their country. And he gave a speech, a discourse at that time on how everyone should stay in their mother country. If you're from America, you stay in America and build America into a great nation. Similarly, if you're from India, you stay in India and build India into a great nation. And so he was trying to tell the boys that, you know, wherever you are from, whether it be India or any other country, you know, be happy where you are and strive to build that particular place up. On another occasion in Patti, and I'm sure Balu has seen this, is, you know, Swami's love was astounding. He would go every day in that portico, he would talk to students. So one day he went to one of the students and said, so what did you have for breakfast today? So the boy said, Swami, we had idlis. And Swami said, were they rocks or were they idlis? So the boy said, Swami, they're idlis, of course. He said, ah, good, good. Because then Swami said, what did you have last night for dinner? And the boy said, we had chapati, curry, rice, rasam, and buttermilk. And then Swami said, was it watermilk or buttermilk? So Swami is always checking to make sure the food is of good quality for the students. And then he went to another student and said, so how many idlis did you have? And he said, Swami, I had 3 idlis for breakfast and 2 pieces of toast. But the usual in the hostel, they would give 2 tiffins, you know, idli and toast or something like that. Then he went to another boy, and that boy said, Swami, I had 5 idlis and 2 toasts. And Swami said, ah, very good. And then he went to another boy and said, how many idlis did you have? And he said, Swami, I had 1 idli. And Swami said, ah, you know, and he immediately called the warden and this and gave them it was humorous at the time because of the context. And Swami was in a playful fashion chastising the warden, saying, see, you're not looking at how these children are eating. He had only 1 idli. He should be having 3 idlis, 5 idlis. So like that, Swami went around and you know, made sure we were all very well, you know, well taken care of. And, you know, another incident on a similar vein. In the morning, I showed a picture of food for the mind and food for the body. And that was on that trip to Madras, was the food for the mind. And, of course, the food for the body shot that was taken, the picture, was actually in Vrindavan. And Swami distributed muruku, which is like a hot snack, a savory snack, and also those chocolates. And after distributing the, you know, everything, all of those, Swami said, I eat. So all of us were eating in Thrai Vrindavan, and Swami was watching us. And he saw us eat the muruku, and then he saw us opening up the chocolate. And Swami said, you know, what is that? And of course, everyone, Swami knows what it is. And we all said, Swami, chocolate, you know, as if he didn't know. But he was just having conversation with us. And Swami said, you know, I don't eat chocolate. You know, I don't eat all these things. You know, all of you eat very well, but you should follow Swami in everything except for one thing. Don't follow the way Swami eats. Because if you do, you will be unhealthy. You will literally die because of the caloric intake that Swami takes, very little. And, you know, Brother Balu will attest, he takes very, very little, you know, just a small, maybe pulka or ragi ball, a very basic food dipped in, groundnut or peanut chutney.
Peanut chutney,
they call it peanut chutney. And very, very, you know, insubstantial fare, which is not really much. But he looked at that chocolate and he told the first boy, you know, unwrap it and you eat. And just as the boy unwrapped it and he was about to eat, Swami said, wait, wait, wait. And the boy, you know, he stopped eating and Swami said, let me see it. And he broke off a piece of the chocolate. It was a little triangular shape. It was a square bar of chocolate, but it was a little bit of a triangular shape and it was broken, a jagged edge on it. And the chocolate, Swami was looking at it and he was telling everybody, "What is this?" And we all said, "Swami, it's a chocolate." And he said, "Is it really?" And he blew on it. And believe it or not, when he blew on it, it transformed into a very glittering emerald. And it was such a glittering, you know, the glitter from the emerald was so powerful. And we were so, you know, I use the word surprised. We were so quite surprised by it that we were all hushed. And Swami said, "Why are you all so surprised? Don't you know that everything is in this hand? That I can make the sky into the earth and the earth into the sky? Why are you all so surprised? You've been students for so long. You've seen so much." And it was a very powerful statement that Swami made. And that isn't true. That is, in fact, quite true. You know, as we've seen in our student days, Swami has done so many miracles that it is really, it's astounding. But so he created that emerald. And then he asked, "Okay, boys, what is this?" And we didn't know what to say. We just kept quiet. Because whatever you say, it's going to be different. But we said, "Swami, emerald." And he said, "Are you sure?" And he blew on it. It became that same jagged piece of chocolate. It was triangular shaped. And it was amazing. And, you know, in India, it was very hot in the room. You know, things will melt. And it was not melted at all. It was just very fresh, as if it was still there. It was triangular. And he took it and he gave it to that boy in front. And he said, "Here's your chocolate. Eat." Now, of course, that boy hesitated a bit, and he was a little apprehensive. And Swami said, "Don't worry, eat, eat." So the moment he put it in his mouth, he was just about to bite into it. Swami said, "Wait, wait, wait, it's an emerald." And that boy almost choked, he gagged on it. And Swami said, no, I'm just joking, eat it. It was actually a chocolate. So in that way, he gave us a nice lesson and made it quite humorous for us. So I will, I think we're... I don't know where we are on time.
Yeah, Swami also used to humor and pun to avoid giving interviews, actually. See, Swami comes out and a boy asks, "Swami, mother came." He's bothering Swami. "Mother came" means please give interview, kind of, you know. "Swami, mother, Swami, mother." Then Swami, mother-in-law? Like, we're all sitting. Swami, this boy says mother. Swami says mother-in-law. So when Swami says mother-in-law, we laugh, actually, because, see, he's still a student. Like, you know, Swami's telling me mother-in-law vachinda. Like, you know, your mother-in-law has come or mother has come. So finally, this boy left, actually. I don't know. Means, you know, the more he says mother, Swami says mother-in-law. So like that, he used to use the humor. And I think this is a wonderful incident and also a lot of meaning for us, even though it is very humorous. There was one gentleman from North India, of course, Hindi speaking. He came to see Swami. He was sitting in the VIPs, little behind. Swami came from the interview door and say, "Kabaya," like that, you know, in Hindi, he said. Then this man got up and he was really red, you know. He was so much, he felt Swami is blessing him, and he went. And, you know, it was really emotional, actually. He touched Swami's feet and said, "Tan manse seva karege baba," like, you know, "I will serve you with my body and mind." Then immediately Swami, till that time it was very serious, Swami immediately looked at him and said, "Par danse nahi," like, in the sense, you are ready to serve with your body and mind. And there is three things, tan, mana, dhana, that is money is involved. So you don't want to do it with your money, Swami is telling. So that gives us a beautiful thing for us, saying that we need to serve with dhana, mana, dhana. All these three, we need to offer it to him. I think with that, we conclude this session. Thank you all for giving this opportunity. Jai Sairam.